Welcome to the Voices of Legacy, where we're honored to welcome another distinguished guest whose life and body service, leadership, and unwavering commitment to faith and community, Mr., or should I say Minister, Timothy L., how do you pronounce that last name?
Brentlinger.
Brentlinger, okay. Mm-hmm. You're a U.S. Army veteran. You served three tours, was it, in the United States Army?
Yes, I did three one-year tours in South and Central America in the early 90s.
Oh, wow. You served the nation with valor. We're so thankful for that. And you've engaged in civic engagement in political environments and in community as well as a graduate of the University of Toledo. You returned to federal service following 9/11. Tell us more about Tim.
Well, I was born in Lucas County at the Toledo Hospital.
Ah.
My parents were residents of Toledo at the time. And not long after that, my mom was walking to work and was mugged.
Oh, no.
And my dad, being the responsible husband and good father, said, we've got to leave the city. And so not long after that, we wound up in a small community in Wood County.
Oh.
And went to school out there. Yeah.
So you kind of left Toledo, but you didn't really leave Toledo.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But everything that we needed,
yeah,
we had to come to Toledo or the suburbs for. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that sounds pretty interesting. So do you think that may have been some of what led you into your military service?
Yeah, that, and I kind of have a spirit of wanderlust. I just want to go out and experience things and see new things.
Yeah.
Being raised in a small country town, about a mile from home, mm-hmm, was a large set of woods with a stream that led to the river, the Maumee River.
Yeah.
And many times I would spend summer days just canvassing and exploring. It was quite the childhood.
Playing Army?
Oh, yeah. Nobody plays Air Force.
Oh, you're already starting trouble. Oh, boy. So you were raised here in Lucas County and Wood County area. What school did you go to?
I went to Otsego.
Oh, okay.
And then in the later years, I went to Pennell, mm-hmm, Pennell County Vocational,
yeah,
School.
Did you pick up a trade?
I did. It was agriculture.
So you went out in the country and you learned how to tend to the fields.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. What was your specialty, if you don't mind?
Oh, it was landscaping design and things of that nature.
Yeah.
That's the area that I shifted towards.
Yeah. Is that something that your dad did, or?
No, at the time my mom worked for an agricultural supplier,
mm-hmm,
and it just kind of leaned in that direction. Come to find out, once I started attending school at Penna,
mm-hmm,
that agricultural supplier that my mom worked for was the supplier that Penna went to for supplies. So it was kind of a small world experience.
So you've got a love for nature, pretty much.
Yeah, I do love being outdoors.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So what led you from that into military service, then to community, I almost say activism, to a certain degree? I know you probably see it as low-key, but you really do seem to have a heart for the community.
Yes, I do. I do. It's really heartbreaking, a lot of the stories that we see coming out of our community here, mm-hmm, in the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
Being a minister of, mm-hmm, the Christian faith, I take a lot of my directives directly from the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And we are to have a heart for individuals as well as a heart for communities. And so that's where a lot of it comes from, is through my obedience to the scriptures.
Mm. Or obedience to your call.
Yes, you could make that argument also.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, that makes a lot of sense. So can you share some of your experience while you were in the military? I know we're jumping from subject to subject, but it seems like they're all kind of related.
My duty station was in Panama, which has been in the news a lot, mm-hmm, in the last few months. It was a hidden gem. Very few people in the military that I've come across knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was originally supposed to do 1 year there, and I ended up extending to do two more tours. And it was a paradise lost. You could go, when you're off duty time, you could go scuba diving, snorkeling, all kinds of water sports, surfing, deep sea fishing. You could go in a couple areas. They had rivers where you could still go panning for gold.
Oh, wow.
And that was a neat experience also.
Should I ask, did you get any?
No.
Okay.
No. I had a couple buddies that did, and they brought them home in small vials. So, mm-hmm, yeah.
Were you involved, if you can tell, you don't have to tell, it might be top secret, with the I guess, getting of Manuel Noriega arresting?
There's a funny story to that.
That was, what, 89, I think?
Yeah, I got there a year to the night of the anniversary and flew into Tacumen Airport in Panama on a civilian flight. Mm-hmm. And we got off the airplane, went into the terminal, and we could hear gunfire.
Oh, wow.
And myself and a couple other American soldiers, all of us in civilian clothes, we're supposed to get picked up by our home units. Mm-hmm. But with all the gunfire and everything, we're wondering what in the world's going on. Mm-hmm. Are they trying to take Panama back 1 year after the invasion? Yeah. And so we were very scared individuals. We had, had no idea what was going on.
It was not an exercise.
No, and we actually called the embassy, and they told us, you need to call your supporting unit. Mm. It's like, we just got in country. We haven't been assigned anywhere yet. Yeah. So that was an exercise in futility. But
wow. So you returned to service thereafter, many years later.
Mm-hmm.
After 9/11.
Yep. I was in the National Guard for a while and attending school and at the University of Toledo. Mm-hmm. And then 9/11 happened. Mm-hmm. And it was 2 to 3 days later, I get a phone call. And I'd been recalled to federal service.
Mm.
So by October 6th, the unit that I was in was completely packed up and we were on a bus headed out.
Well, that sounds interesting and possibly scary.
Yeah, another neat story to that was we were in our buses and we were leaving Bowling Green and traveling on 75 South towards where we were going to end up being. And we had police escort, cars and motorcycles. Mm-hmm. And at some point, the motorcycles just took off. You could see them. They gunned it and were gone. Mm-hmm. And then a few moments later, they were on the last overpass in Wood County.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all sitting there rendering a salute as we passed.
Wow.
That was
a different time.
It was.
I think everybody remembered where they were. So with all of that service behind you, I guess that's possibly what led you, and you tell me, to public service. You did run for public office at one time, didn't you?
Party office, mm-hmm. Not public office. Right. I ran for State Central Committee with the Republican Party, and on the second attempt, I did win that position.
Oh, okay.
So I believe the title is Ohio Republican Party State Central Committee Member for Senate District 2.
So you think that might lead to public office sometime in the future?
I'm not sure. There are a lot of things that happen behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. You have to gain nomination. You have to, there's all kinds of things. Secure funding for the campaign and all that stuff. There are a lot of moving parts, and
been blessed to have quite a few mayors and at least one elected official who's currently serving right now. And it seems as though in those lives, in those stories, the common denominator is they didn't really seek the office. The office kind of came after them. Do you think that may be the direction that you may... I'm not trying to lead you in it, but it just seems that way with what you do.
I haven't ruled it out.
No. Okay.
I haven't ruled it out. I do have 4 sons at home that we're raising. It takes a lot of time to raise a family right and to raise it properly.
That's 4 out of 5.
Yeah, that's 4 out of 5. All 5 boys total, yep.
Oh, my goodness.
One's out on his own already, and the other 4 are still at home, so, yeah.
It sounds like you probably have some pretty good stories from home.
None that I'll share.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, you've been instrumental in community engagement and participating in politics, as well as in your faith life. Have those intersected?
Yeah. I came across some documents from the pre-Revolutionary War era, the colonial era.
Yeah.
And they were sermons from that era. Mm-hmm. And the ministers back then were incredibly active in politics in this country. And that was an eye-opener to me because in our schools we're told, hey, when we take government or civic courses in our schools, we're told there's a separation of church and state and all of these other things. But when I started to read more of these documents from that era, it was like they didn't quite believe that. And that kind of, peeled back the curtain. I started to look behind and say, hey, what else is out there that hasn't been talked about?
Yeah.
And so
it seems as though in that era, the exercise of faith, at least from the Judeo-Christian point of view, was to allow for every person of every faith to be here in America. It's kind of the impetus for us even being here in this wonderful country mm-hmm. of ours, to have the freedom to worship however you see fit, as long as you're not hurting anybody. Wow. So faith in ministry. You're ordained minister, is that correct?
Yes, yes.
And you were influenced to approach this by what? So did you have a mentor or?
I did.
Or literally it was just a call and you answered?
It was a calling that I have felt from my youth, but kind of like Jonah. There was something inside of me that was relenting and not giving in.
Telling you to go ahead, huh?
Yeah, and it took well into my adult life until I finally relented and said, okay, I'll go ahead and I'll seek ordination.
Not that, you don't have to answer this question, but how's your family feel about that calling?
It was no surprise.
Oh, okay.
For my wife and kids, it was no surprise. We've attended a couple different churches in the region, and in every one of those, I would end up leading Bible studies, morning Bible groups, men's, all kinds of different studies. Mm-hmm. And it was just a matter of time. And a dear pastor who passed away a couple of years ago, he's the one who first approached me and said, have you considered becoming a minister and being ordained? And that's where the rubber met the road, and we started moving forward with that process that sentiment, that inner pushing, that calling had been there for decades. We finally acted on it.
Well, the call to serve is a great thing. It really is in every aspect. And it seems like there's a lot of service in your life, which leads us to your professional career.
Okay.
What is it? I already know the answer to the question, but what is it that you do professionally?
Well, I did have to sign a disclaimer that I couldn't talk about this stuff. I can say that I'm in the investments and insurance industry.
Gotcha.
That's all I can say.
Gotcha. So you're kind of in insurance and finance and such.
Yeah.
Well, that's still service.
It is. It is. A very famous guy, Dave Ramsey, he said a couple of times that if they would teach in high schools what he teaches, then he'd be out of a job.
Wow.
And that's kind of where I am in the same way, is that I take basic financial principles and share them with people. And when they see that it would benefit them by moving forward with a product or service, then we go ahead. I'm not the kind of guy that, you know, I'm there to push hard for a sale. If they don't need the product or service, thank you very much. Here's my card. Consider calling me into the future.
You're not the salesman in the ninja outfit waiting to pounce on somebody.
No.
Or twist their arm.
Not at all. If they don't have a need for the product or service, I don't push it.
Now that's good. And it's good to give good information, in sales in particular, if you have information that's helpful to them. Even if they don't buy from you, you're making a relationship. Your educational background, you went to the University of Toledo, which...
I did. Yep. I did not finish. 9/11 interrupted that, and I was studying political science and history. That's the direction I was going.
Wow. Well, you think you'll ever go back?
I'm currently taking online courses at Liberty University.
Oh, okay.
So it lends itself more to my current schedule than actually having and going to a location like University of Toledo. Not that it's bad, but taking 20 minutes to drive there, finding a parking spot, 20 minutes, you know, all of the time that's consumed and all of that, it's much easier just to go online, start, and then turn it off and go about the rest of my day.
At your own pace.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So you're going to get that degree, huh?
Yep.
You've hosted various events, including educational classes and candidate dinners and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. What impact have these events had on the community that you serve in?
I have been able, through conversation and through the different presentations that I've given, gotten more people to become more involved with the Republican Party. A couple have become candidates here and there. I know one person who was very upset with everything that was going on with COVID, and this person went out and started a small group, and then was eventually hired by a nationally known organization that's involved in the political realm. And just a couple of weeks ago, she sent me a thank you note saying, hey, thanks. If it hadn't have been for you, I never would have gotten involved and would not be where I am now today. So it's little things like that that I receive on occasion. It makes the struggle worth it.
Awesome.
It's very heartening.
Wow. So have you experienced a lot of challenges in any of the things that we spoke of today? Your careers, your your education, your military experience?
For me, the military was fun. I had a lot of fun. I had a couple of injuries that prevented me from seeking a particular course in the military that I wanted to pursue. So I just called it and got out. Civilian jobs pay more than military desk jobs. So but politics has been really challenging. There's a lot of self-interest, a lot of folks with agendas coming in, and they don't always align with the party values. So there's been
or
some challenges.
Or maybe even your personal values.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's what it takes to live in a republic, is you have to be tolerant to a degree of other of other ideas that you may not even agree
don't,
with.
Don't say that again.
What's that?
You have to be tolerant of other people's ideas?
To a degree. To a degree.
I agree with you. I'm kind of messing with you. But you do. You have to listen to people that you may not agree with and really see where they're coming from in order to come to some type of common ground. Not without trying to, I think in ministry in particular, people assume that we're always trying to convert somebody, and that's not really the case.
No, listening is primarily what we do in the ministry.
Yeah.
People come to you, and they many of them have come from heartbreaking backgrounds that would have destroyed, and that's something I'm always amazed about, is the resilience of the human spirit. You come and you listen to some folks that have come from some soul-crushing backgrounds, and just to see that they're still willing to keep moving forward, it's inspiring.
It is.
It is inspiring. And to be able to meet with people like that and offer them just a little bit of encouragement or a little bit of hope, and when the opportunity arises, steer them in the direction of sharing the gospel with them, that's a beautiful moment.
Well, do you have any media out, any books or anything of that nature?
I am working on a book at the moment. I'm bouncing back and forth between two publishers, trying to get the best deal that I can. But the premise of the book is that America is not the first limited representative constitutional republic in history. The first one was the Republic of the Israelites, established during their exodus from Egypt. And the parallels are there. I have a volume of, it's a book, and it's a collected volume of pre-Revolutionary War sermons. And there are a couple of them in there that talk about, hey, as we move forward in establishing our own government, we should consider what the Israelites had established at Mount Sinai, which was the world's, again, the world's first limited representative constitutional republic with a structure of subsidiarity. So that's the theme of the book. And it's kind of curious that when you look at in the scriptures how it talks about if Israel will do all of these things, that God will bless them. And then America set up on those same principles. And we are the wealthiest country in the world. And it's, you can't draw a direct parallel, but it's curious. We set ourselves up very similar to what ancient Israel had. Ancient Israel prospered when they followed God's model for humanity. And we tried the same thing. And so, writing a book on that, and it probably come out in the next year.
It sounds like you have it in you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now you got to get it out of you on paper.
It's really nothing more, not taking anything out of me, but it's really more studying the scriptures carefully and just pulling that out and writing a book on it.
Well, here's the question of the day.
And
we're there a little early. But nevertheless, what do you think your legacy is? And then what would you like for it to be?
At this point, my legacy is probably that I'm stubborn and obstinate on things that to me are objective truth. Mm-hmm. I will not deviate from that. Mm-hmm. And I hope that my legacy has been, or will be, I hope that my legacy will be, yeah, that I did those things out of love and concern for individuals, mm-hmm, and to help steer them towards objective truth, mm-hmm, and in doing so, helping them to base their lives on facts so they can move forward and be productive and enjoy life.
Well, that sounds like a pretty good answer.
Thanks.
Oh,
totally unscripted.
I'm a witness. A legacy of hope left behind, I think, is what every father would like to leave for their children and grandchildren.
Yes.
And we hope that that's exactly what you're doing in your public service, in your reaching across the political divide and causing people to come together, think, and love each other, and then act in our community towards solutions. We thank God for that. Thank God for you joining us for the Voices of Legacy today. Did you have any parting words?
No, other than thank you for having me on today, and I hope this program reaches more people and can make an impact in our community for good.
Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell III, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.